most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for the privilege given to us to assemble together to study a portion of your word that you have graciously given to us so that we can know how you think and how you want us to function on this planet. So as we begin to study your word, we realize that the human mind is incapable of understanding any spiritual truth apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that the Holy Spirit will open our minds, give us the focus and the concentration that we need to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. We're still continuing Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 28. He reads, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." Now, the third proposition of Exodus 21, chapter 12, verses 1 through 28 that we have been considering, derived from verses 21 through 28, though, is that the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance, as he explained its significance. Now, we noted that Moses focused on the actions that Israel needed to take in order to carry out God's instruction that he gave to them. We began to consider the command of verse 21. Look at that command. It said, "Go at once." That we indicated could be misleading because although it has a sense of urgency, could imply that Moses waited to the last minute before he relayed the Lord's instruction through him to the elders of Israel. Now, many of us are procrastinators. In other words, you wait for the last minute. And usually when we do that, that's when we make the greatest mistakes, as we say. So we do things in a hurry, and we do things haphazardly in some cases. So, to think that when Moses says go at once, he wasn't waiting to the last minute to instruct him. Anyway, we have argued in our last study that this could not possibly be the case. Now, the Hebrew word used in the command, as we indicated in our last study, has a sense of going and dragging an animal. Going and dragging an animal. So, while the Hebrew word used may simply be translated go or proceed, but in our context, the word implies making a movement and as a result to drag an animal. Now, the implication of this command is that Moses wanted the elders to return to their various groups to relay the actions the Israelites should take in accordance with the instruction of the Lord through him regarding the celebration of the Passover. Now that Moses instructed the elders of Israel to return to their various groups to convey the instruction he gave them implies that he had carefully applied to Israel the actions the Lord had given him. Now, we continue then to examine how carefully Moses applied the Lord's instruction to the Israelites as their spiritual leader. Hence our proposition that spiritual leaders should be careful to apply God's instruction regarding celebration of their deliverance. And in this case, we're talking about the spiritual leaders who have the gift of teaching, those whose function is to teach congregation of believers. Now, Moses' instruction to the elders of Israel to relate to the Israelite is given in the expression, again, verse 21 says, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb." Now, it appears that this expression contains three actions. However, only two actions are involved. The first action concerns the selection of the animal that is to be used in the Passover, as we would argue, based on the Hebrew word used in the command given. Now, the command of the NIV says, "Go at once and select," may actually be more literally translated, "Go and select." Now, we have argued previously again that the Hebrew word that may simply be translated "go," as in some of our English versions, has a sense in our specific context, that of movement, that as a result of that movement, a person will take an action of drawing up or dragging an animal. In effect, we are saying that going and drawing up or dragging an animal should be viewed as one action. Of course, it's not enough to tell the people to draw up or drag an animal for the celebration of the Passover, but they should be reminded that there are criteria that are involved in choosing the animal to drag or to take. Now, this being the case, the expression and select should be taken as an explanation that enables the Israelites in making their decisions regarding the animal to draw up after they have gone to their animal pens or wherever they keep the animals. My point, though, is that the word "and," because it says select "and," or "go and," that word "and" should really not be viewed as "and" the way it is translated. This is because it is a translation of a Hebrew particle that no doubt is translated "and" in many of our English versions. However, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In our passage, it is used to provide an explanation of what it means to go and draw an animal. Of course, both commands, "go" and "select," are in the plural. So it is not difficult to accept that the word "select" is used to explain the first word, "go," or that we have what's called ehendiades, meaning that two words are saying the same thing that concerns the choice of animal for the celebration of the Passover. Now, the word "select," though, is translated from a Hebrew word that means to take or to grasp or even to seize. But it has other meanings. For example, it may mean to fetch or to bring, as it is used in the instruction of Rebecca to her son Jacob about fetching an animal that she will use to prepare meal for the husband, Isaac, during her scheme of how Jacob will receive blessing of the firstborn son of his instead of his actual firstborn son, which is Esau. So she used our word in instructing him to go get the animal to be used in Genesis chapter 27, verse 13. Genesis chapter 27, verse 13. He reads, his mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So here, it's really to go select, bring the animal to her. Now the Hebrew word may mean to choose or to select. So when Moses appointed some men as leaders in Israel, it is our Hebrew word that is used in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. I'll hold on to Deuteronomy. I'll look at two verses in that chapter anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. He reads, so I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you, as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and as tribal officials. Now, although our word is here translated took, but the sense is that of choosing some men for leadership role, as supported by the instruction of Moses. If you just go back in verse 13, look at verse 13, the same Deuteronomy chapter 1, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, choose some wise, understanding, and respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. So Moses actually instructed the people to choose men who met certain criteria. So those he took as leaders were the persons chosen by Israelites that met the criteria that he specified, which includes those who have great understanding, those that people respect. Now that's the word took here in Deuteronomy 1 verse 15 really has the sense of to choose. Now, the word may mean to select, as it is used in Moses' choice of the 12 spies of Israel that he sent to explore Canaan, as the Hebrew word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 23 reads, the idea seemed good to me, so I selected, that's a Hebrew word. So I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. See, that sentence, I selected 12 of you, is literally, if you have an English version that's more literal, they translate, I took 12 of you. But the sense is, I selected. Now the Hebrew word that means to take, though, is clearly here, has the sense of to choose, as it is used in the instruction of Joshua to Israel before they cross the Jordan in Joshua chapter 3, verse 12. Joshua chapter 3, verse 12. He reads, Joshua chapter 3, verse 12 reads, now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Now it is true that we do not have any criterion set here for choosing the men from the 12 tribes of Israel. The fact that Joshua commanded them to choose some men implies that there must be a criterion for doing so, since among humans there's always a basis for selection or choice of individuals for a given task. Now, in our passage of Exodus 12, verse 21, the sense of the Hebrew word is either to choose or to select, as that is the meaning that makes more sense because of the criteria the Lord specified to Moses in his instruction to him in Deuteronomy that we're studying chapter 2 of Lucas verse 5. Exodus chapter 12 verse 5. Exodus, where we're starting chapter 12. Go back to verse 5. It reads, "The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats." I'm going to be referring to that verse several times in this study. So you may put the marker there. So that is the thing that we believe he must have given them the criterion. And we're going to look at it a little bit later. So that means that the third proposition that we are considering, that we stated, we also started to consider last week, is simply again that the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance as they explain its significance. Now that Moses carefully applied to Israel the instruction he received from the Lord regarding the Passover is evident in the words he used in the instruction of Exodus 12:21 when he said, "Go at once and select the animals for your families." Now remember, the proposition is to apply an instruction to a group of believers. That's what we're trying to develop. And I'm going to show that is the case, that just by looking at the command, "Go at once and select the animals for your families." Before we consider the words Moses used that support our proposition, we should note first that in applying the Lord's instruction to the Israelites through their elders, Moses will have given them the criteria the Lord provided him regarding the animals that they were to select. In effect, Moses gave the Israelites the criteria the Lord gave him regarding the selection of the animal as the Lord stated to him, recorded in the passage I just cited in Exodus 12, verse 5. Giving them the kind of animal that you have to be year-old males without any defect. Now, but he tell them, take it from goat or sheep. But we're going to see how when he starts applying what instruction he received so that the people can actually do what God says. Then he begins to use the guidance of the Holy Spirit to expand on instruction. So anyway, it is our declaration then that the words Moses used in the instruction, "Go at once and select the animals for your family," support the third proposition that we stated. So now, to prove the correctness of our declaration, we will consider two key words used in this first instruction. And that's for all we do this evening, just to look at those key words to see, prove the point that yes, it's one thing. What we're looking at is it's one thing to put the Bible. It's a different thing to know what it is all about. Now, many Christians, which you should, quote the Bible. But many times, how they quote it doesn't mean that they apply it correctly. And that is the struggle that pastors have to deal with, and so that believers will know how to apply whatever they quote from the scripture. So here, this is how we can see it from Moses. So the first key word used is the word animals. Now that doesn't seem to be something that's intriguing, but that's the word animal. That word animals has a lot to do with what we're studying, with our proposition. That he took the instruction God gave him and he applied it to the people in a way they can understand and make it more practical for them to use it. Now if you look at back in Exodus 12 verse 5, the phrase the Lord used in that instruction is sheep or the goats. That's the instruction. Now the word sheep is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean male lamb, as in the first specification for burnt offering for the Lord mentioned in Numbers chapter 6 verse 14. Numbers chapter 6 verse 14. Now we're looking at the word that God, the Hebrew word that's used to describe the animal. And so the first word is that worship. Here it reads, there he is to present his offering to the Lord, a year old male lamb with a defect, for a burnt offering, a year old ewe lamb with a defect, for a sin offering, a ram with a defect, for a fellowship offering. So here it's really translated more of as a male lamb. Now the word may also mean sheep, as clearly it is used in Job chapter 31 verse 20. Job chapter 31, verse 20. Now, what we're looking at is a Hebrew word that really is kebes, but it can mean male lamb or just simply sheep. So here it reads, and his heart did not bless me for warming him with fleas from my sheep. So here the Hebrew word is clearly translated sheep. That's the word God, the Hebrew word that God used to instruct Moses. Now, if you notice in Exodus 12, 5, it says sheep or the goats. Sheep or the goats. Now, the word goat there is translated from a Hebrew word that means goats, as it is used in the salary negotiation between Jacob and Laban in Genesis chapter 30 verse 33. We're going to come back to that chapter again after a few more. But this is the issue is we have a salary negotiation not in terms of money, but in terms of animal. Verse 33 of Genesis 30 reads, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possessions that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored, will be considered stolen. In other words, he say, if you come, once we've agreed that my salary will be speckled or dark, and if you come and find one that's not that, consider me a thief. That's really what he's saying. Now the Hebrew word may also mean female goat, as it is used in sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 28. Leviticus. And hold on to Leviticus though. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 28. It reads, when he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his offering for the sin he committed a female goat without defect. Same Hebrew word, is. That's just simply translate goat, but here it's called translated female goat. Now the word also may mean male goat, used also for sin offering. In still in Leviticus, look at chapter 9, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 3 reads, "Then say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old and with a defect for a burnt offering." Now, by the way, you notice or you should observe that both male and female goats were used for sin offering. Now, this is probably to convey to those who in our time are hung up with the issue of gender that is not important in the spiritual life. Now, you see, the Lord Jesus, because you hear all this kind of people arguing all kinds of things, you're just male dominated and all that. Those things are not important in the spiritual life. See, the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, not because his sin offering is intended to focus on the fact that he's a male. That's not the issue. Because that's what, you know, some of these people try to make all kinds of things out of the Bible. They say you're just pushing male thinking and so on and so forth. But that's not the reason. Jesus Christ came as a male to fulfill the promise to David of having a descendant who will rule forever. That's the promise God made to David, because that anticipates, before the Lord made that promise, the plan has already been hatched that Jesus Christ will come and take the human form to die for our sins. Now, the point though is that people who make an issue of gender in the spiritual life should recognize that it's really of no value. Of course, the Holy Spirit has indicated that as far as status, but not function, just status, as far as that is concerned, there is no difference between male and females in Christ Jesus, as stated in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Now, the point I'm really laboring to make is, we have seen that people try to, you know, talk about male, female, and all kinds of things, and they use it to attack the Bible. And here we've seen a sin offering, male goat, a sin offering, female goat. So you see, that's not an issue. But people still make an issue of these things, because they forget there's a difference between status and function. So in other words, that's why you hear all these female pastors and all, because they, you know, a passage like this that I'm going to read. It reads, says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." Here, the concern is not status, but here the concern is for the status, but not function. So that, yes, we all believers have equal standing before God, but their functions are different. Anyway, that aside, we are concerned with the word animal that Moses used in Exodus 12, verse 21. That's what he used. The reason I went to verse 5 of chapter 12 is to show you, when God spoke to him, he wrote two different Hebrew words. That's what when God spoke to him. But when he wanted to instruct the people, Now he used the word animal in Exodus 12 verse 21. Now we will have expected Moses that he would have used one of the words translated sheep or goat in Exodus 12 verse 5. That's what we would have expected. When he was relating the message to the elders, in that expression we say, go at once, verse 21, go at once and select the animal for your families. But that's not what we find. We'll expect him to use a word that will say, go get a goat or sheep. But that's not what he did. Instead, he used a Hebrew word that means flock. Flock. As it is used again in the salary negotiation between Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban. Back to Genesis chapter 30, look at verse 32. And hold on to Genesis though. Genesis chapter 30, verse 32. He reads, let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages. Now, here, the Hebrew word that is used in Exodus 12:21 is translated flock. Now, the Hebrew word also may mean sheep. Sheep, as in the activity of Judah reported in Genesis chapter 38, verse 13. Genesis chapter 38, verse 13. It is when Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to share his sheep. That's what sheep there is, Hebrew word son, which is the word translated animal in Exodus 12, verse 21. Now, of course, the NIV and the New English Translation translated the same Hebrew word goat. That's how they translated it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 21. The same word that means flock. Here, these two English versions, the NIV and the New English Translation, translated the Hebrew word using the meaning goat, as in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 21. It reads, in that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two goats. As a Hebrew word, here it's translated goats. However, though, most English versions use the meaning sheep in translating our Hebrew word here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 21. Now, figuratively, the Hebrew word may refer to a person under divine protective care and guidance, as Israel was described, because they were under God's protective care and guidance, as implied in Psalms 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, verse 13. It reads, then we, your people, the sheep, here is sheep, the sheep of your pasture, In other words, we are those under your divine protective care. Sheep, your pasture here, is just a way to say we are under your protective care. He said, we praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Now, although the Hebrew word means flock in the sense of collection of sheep and goats, but in our passage in Exodus 12 verse 21, the word is really used in a literal sense of sheep. Sheep. Now, so in using the Hebrew word that means sheep, Moses applied the law's instruction so that there should be uniformity in the animals used for the celebration of the Passover. Because God said, this or that. But when he applied it to them, he used one that required them to use sheep so there will be uniformity in the celebration. Now, so Moses could have indicated that a goat should be used. But he specified sheep. Now, so we should understand that the Holy Spirit, no doubt, guided him to instruct Israel in such a way there will be uniformity in the kind of the small animal they will use for the Passover feast. Thus, it's not surprising that we know we are read in the Bible, English translation, of course, Passover goat. Don't see that. But the reference is usually Passover lamb. That goes back to what Moses told Israel how he interpreted the instruction God gave him. So I contend then that it is because of the word Moses used in Exodus 12 verse 21 to describe a small animal to be used for the Passover feast that Israel recognized that a small animal to be used is a lamb. Hence, in the time of King Hezekiah, when they celebrated the Passover after such a long time, they didn't celebrate it, they did use the Passover lamb in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verse 15. Second Chronicles, now it reads, they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and consecrated themselves and brought burnt offerings to the temple of the Lord. Now the same description of the Passover after the exile is described using the same Passover lamb in Ezra chapter 6 verse 20. Ezra chapter 6, verse 20 reads, the priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their brothers, the priests, and for themselves. So anyway, it is then our contention that Moses, or that his use of the first key word in the Hebrew that we have examined indicates that he applied correctly the instruction the Lord gave to him regarding the small animal that should be used in the celebration of the Passover to ensure uniformity among the Israelites. In other words, this is one of what we are really getting to is, it is not enough to tell a person that this is what the Bible says. We have to try to apply it Now, throw something here. All here, many times you hear people say, yield to the Lord, brother. What does that mean? You have to explain it and say, this is what you do. Now, that's just an illustration. So, what we're doing here is showing you how Moses did that. That's all we're trying to do using two words, to show that it's important to take what's in the scripture and expand it so that believers can understand how to apply it. And that's all Moses is doing here. So that's the first indicator of the way he did it, is when God says, this or that, the Holy Spirit guided him and said, this is the one you should tell them. And that's how it worked. Now the second key word in Moses' instruction, in Exodus 12 verse 21, when he said, go at once and select the animals for your families. That supports the third proposition that we've stated, is the word families. Now, if you read through others, well, family, family, and they go their way. But that is the simple reason, one of the reasons we focus on word study. Look at the words and see what they mean. Because by seeing the differences in meaning, you can now know what the Holy Spirit is communicating. Now, the Hebrew word used that we'll examine shortly is actually different from the one used when the Lord instructed Moses regarding the animals to use in the Passover feast in Exodus 12, verse 3. Go back to Exodus 12. Exodus 12 verse 3. Now again, all I'm laboring to show you this just by two words. That's all we're going to spend time look at. Two words. To show that these words, they have meaning. And part of the reason that we have what I call shallow thinking Christians is because we don't understand these things. That words have meaning. And we need to explore what their meanings are so that that will allow us to think clearly in certain direction. Because if you don't understand the meanings of words, you run to the other end of with whatever you're thinking. So here we're going to see a word that Moses should have used but didn't use. And that goes back to what I mentioned on Sunday. When you have a pattern and somebody deviates from that pattern, then the question you see, why? And when asking that question, why, the Holy Spirit will give you the reason. Anyway, so here in Exodus 12 verse 3, look at what it says. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. Of course, reading that in English, there's no way you're going to tell the difference. Now, the word family here in verse 3 is translated from a Hebrew word, bayit, that basically means a house. But it has various nuances or meanings. For example, the Hebrew word may mean family in the sense of a social unit living together, usually consisting of a family in terms of husband, wife, and children, and slaves or servants. There are some who were servants, they weren't slaves, but they were servants, they just sold themselves in the sense of, or they work for a person and live in their house. So that becomes servants. Now, often though, when the meaning family is used with our Hebrew word used in verse 3 here, it implies that all members of that family live in the same physical building, that everyone live in the same physical building. Now, the word families in the instruction that Moses gave in Exodus 12, 21, when he said, go at once and select the animals for your families, is translated from a different Hebrew word. A Hebrew word that means clan. That is, of course, a close-knit group of interrelated families or a group of people tracing descent from a common ancestor. As that's the way the Hebrew word is used in Abraham's description to his servant regarding where to get Isaac's wife by sending him back to where he comes from, as recorded in Genesis chapter 24, verse 40. Genesis Now, I'm saying that although we have the word family in Exodus 12:21, the word family there is an entirely different word in Hebrew. Actually, it's a word mishpada or mishpacha. Anyway, here we read in Genesis 24:40, he replied, "The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family." Here the Hebrew word is actually translated clan. Now the word may mean family, no doubt. The Hebrew word may mean family, all right, as it is used in Moses' description of the whining of the Israelites. When the Lord brought manna to them, they started whining and complaining because they were rejecting God's provision for them. And our Hebrew word is translated family then in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. It is, "Moses had the people of every family well in, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled." Now, this is one of those things when you think about it. Of course, here it's called family. Why were they all whining? Because they decided, well, we used to eat in this and that in Egypt, and now you're giving all these things that we don't know what it looks like. Now, not knowing, God gave them a perfect food for them. Had all the nutrients they need to survive for 40 years. But again, if your spiritual life is not what it's supposed to be, you are bored with life. Everything becomes boring to you because your soul is bored. But if you have the normal spiritual life, it doesn't matter what you eat every day, the same thing. It wouldn't change you because that's not what you just know. You're getting some nutrients. But that's Israel, and they weren't thinking that way because they were already malcontented, which is what happens when a person is not spiritually sound. Anyway, so that's what happened here, that Moses himself was so troubled that these people were complaining. Nonetheless, my concern is the Hebrew word used is here translated family. Now, the Hebrew word may also mean people. As it is used to describe those the Lord used to judge his covenant people, as stated in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9. Jeremiah 25, verse 9 reads, "I will summon all the peoples." A Hebrew word is not for the peoples. I will summon all the peoples of the north. And look at the next thing. My servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. How interesting. An unbeliever, the Lord said, my servant. That is to say, he uses whoever he wants to use to do what he wants done. That's why Nebuchadnezzar, he described him as my servant. Because he was going, he was the instrument God was going to use to judge his people for their idolatry. He said, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. So here, the issue is the Hebrew word translated family. Here is translated peoples. Now it is, of course, in the sense of family, that is a social unit living together, possibly under one roof or in the same house, that the word is used in our passage of Exodus 12 verse 21. However, the plural used in the Hebrew is families, not family, families. And that indicates there is a sense that extended family is in view, since all Israelites are descendants of Jacob. Now, since our Hebrew word also means family, one wonders why Moses used this word instead of the word the Lord used in his instruction in verse 3. See, that's one of the what studying the word does, is run into this. It can do, because if you're in English, family, families don't know the difference. It's people who study from the original, they say, oh, wait a minute now. Why did this happen? Now, a possible reason, that's when you can get all these gems or the inner things in the truth of the word of God, by asking this kind of question. And that's something I'm going to say now. There's nowhere on this planet I would have known this if I read from the English. And I hope you can get it. I mean, get what I got. So a possible reason Moses used the second Hebrew word lies in the common meaning of the two Hebrew words used. Now the Hebrew word that basically means house has also the meaning people. It also has a meaning, people. The same Hebrew word that translated family, or means house in verse 3 of Exodus 12 can also mean people, Exodus 12:3. However, when the word is used with the meaning people, it is usually to describe Israel. The word used in verse 3 of Exodus 12, though it can mean house, family, or people. But anytime that word has a meaning, people, it's always to describe Israel. For example, the word is used with the meaning people in Exodus 16, verse 31. Exodus 16 verse 31. Here it says, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Now after the split of Israel into two kingdoms, those in the southern kingdom are also described using that word in Jeremiah chapter 36 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 36 verse 3. Jeremiah 36 verse 3 reads, "Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin." Now, the same word is used to describe the people of the northern kingdom in Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Here it reads, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come." Here again, the Hebrew word that means family in verse 3 of Exodus 12 is here translated people, and it's with Israel. Now, the Hebrew word used in Exodus 12:21 that we're studying, that I say means clan, can also mean people. But it is one that is used to describe all people on the earth, including the Israelites. So one is specific to Israel. And the other one includes Israel and other people, which is the one used in verse 21 that we're looking at. Dozen, the Hebrew word, is one used in the promise of the blessing that would come to all people through Abraham, that was reiterated to Jacob in Genesis 28 verse 14. Genesis 28 verse 14. He reads, "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offerings." Our Hebrew word in verse 21 of chapter 12 here is translated people, including everyone. Now, of the 10 times the Hebrew word is translated people in the NIV, only once that the word is actually used to describe Israel in the book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 3. Micah chapter 2, verse 3. He reads, Micah chapter 2, verse 3 reads, "Therefore the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people," that's Israel, "from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity." So hence, we can state that the difference in the use of the Hebrew word translated family in Exodus 12 verse 21 and that translated in Exodus 12 verse 3 is that the one in verse 21, when used with the meaning people, is used to include people other than the Israelites, while that of verse 3 is limited in that the meaning is really only to the Israelites. Consequently, Moses' use of the word in verse 21 is intended to be more inclusive. Now, when God gave the instruction, he used a word that narrowed people to Israel. But when Moses now applied the instruction, he used a word that includes other people other than Israel. Now, what's the significance? Well, this means that Moses applied broadly what it is to be understood as family that will eat the Passover. Now, you see, in the first celebration of the Passover, it will only involve the Israelites. But in subsequent celebration, it will be opened up to any family living among the people of Israel, provided they met the condition stipulated later in Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. It reads, "An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it." So you see, the point is that Moses carefully applied God's instruction to the Israelites through their elders in the first celebration of the Passover feast. Now, by the way, although it's not stated in verse 21 of Exodus 12 that we are considering, we can be sure that Moses conveyed to the Israelites, their elders, of course, regarding the family size, or how they can combine in sharing the animal that God told him if a family is too small, they should combine. But be that as he may, though, the thing that we want to emphasize is the implication of Moses' application of the Lord's instruction to Israel through him regarding the celebration of the Passover is simply what I'm explaining. See, if Moses had used the same word, that would have narrowed the celebration of the Passover. What that would mean is that no other person can celebrate it. But God, the Holy Spirit, guided him. He used a word that opened it up, so that people in Israel, if you live in Israel and you want to celebrate it, you have to be circumcised, and that you celebrate it. So the point is that it is necessary for those who interpret the Bible to expand what God has to say through the Holy Spirit. So my thing is that because of this application, that we should know that it is God, the Holy Spirit, that those who teach the Word of God should look up to help open up their minds so that they can apply the Word correctly. So in any case, all we did is to look at the first action of Israel, that was the selection of the lamb for the feast. So this brings us to the second action of Israel was to take. And it is there we'll begin our study next week. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us for the things that we study, so that we begin to mold in our minds the importance of understanding what's in your word before we go off applying them. This is our request in Christ's name.